point, the wider issue is that, like, being in a university for that long a time means that, like, your brain is kind of wired in a certain way. And then when he, like, and crucially, as we said in, like, previous episodes, he kind of, like, becomes this public figure, not necessarily by intention. He's kind of, like, thrown up there by, you know, viral videos and kind of all, you know, and then he sort of embraced that for a long time. Then he kind of embraced, you know, the true art of darkness, which is content creation, but also now finds himself post-coma, like, with a message that doesn't necessarily resonate as much as it used to, right? The whole idea of, like, you know, the self-improvement space has kind of, like, been really kind of taken up and absorbed by lots of grifters who are basically kind of saying the same stuff as him, but in, like, much more marketable terms. But also, like, a lot of his true believers have kind of realized that, oh, you know, regardless of, like, how much self-improvement I do, I can't really change my material conditions all that much. So maybe, like, I need to kind of go towards other people, like, go towards, like, more, you know, and those people tend to be people with more extremist positions. So again, like, Peterson finds himself not necessarily being a leader in this space anymore, but a follower. And Annie, I don't
because he can't triangulate it, really. And the one thing I just wanted to intervene with this before we let Annie talk, and I'm actually interested in what Annie, as somebody who is, like, currently in academia, what you think about this. This is certainly my observation from when I was myself, and this is not a situation that exists anymore. This is no longer the academic trajectory, because the academic trajectory is now you finish your PhD and then you either do something else or you are in precaritized labor because there aren't any academic jobs, and you get treated absolutely appallingly. And are also expected to kind of extend a kind of sort of quite fractured solidarity, because kind of senior staff members who have full-time salary jobs while you're, like, driving around the country to teach for £20 an hour. And again, I know £20 an hour, like, it sounds like it's a kind of high hourly rate, but it doesn't include reading, it doesn't include prep time, and it doesn't include the probably thousands of pounds you spent on getting the doctorate in the first place. So, like, it's, you know, so let's not go into whether or not it's actually a lot of money, because it really isn't. But this is certainly something that I observe from being around senior academics and sort of career academics, was that they had done their PhDs and their postdocs 40,000 years ago, and the way they'd done it was they'd, like, found an area that nobody else had, like, kind of written up, and they gathered all the research together and then they wrote it up. And the point of your doctorate is to just so kind of stupefy your examiners with boredom that they can't possibly fail it, because they can't face reading it to the end. Again, this is not about your doctorate. This is very specifically in the department that I was in. But then what you get as a reward for having done that and having got your first lectureship, etc., is that you can then just sort of move into a much more kind of vibes only area of research. And once you get kind of senior and important enough, you can sort of go to an academic publisher and say, so I've got an idea for a book and it's mad. What do you reckon? And this is what one tutor I'd met had done. He had come up with this theory for which he had no real evidence, no real reasoning other than, I think this is fun. I think this is a fun thing to have come up with a theory about, which is that there is this entirely missing pre-Augustus Roman literary tradition which accounts for some of the kind of understanding gaps in, particularly in kind of comedy, tragedy and history, but that there is an entire lost tradition that we don't have anymore, and that everything that we do have is just responding to that. And it's a fun idea, but it's not one that has any real plausible evidence. Like, not really, it's a vibes theory. And I kind of feel that Jordan Peterson, having straddled the line between academia and content creation, sort of thinks that he can more or less do the same thing in content creation, but there are people who are doing it a lot better in one, like, obviously better is a kind of value judgment in this case, but like a lot stronger and kind of really, really having opinions as opposed to just sort of, you know, asking questions or whatever it is that he claims he's doing. And I think that it's like he's trying to kind of impose academia vibes only onto content creation, which is also vibes only, but in a very, very specific way.
Yeah, I mean, when you were saying, you know, about working so hard on your PhD and then abandoning that just to go into kind of more vibes based, I was just a bit like, yeah, it's called podcasting after your PhD. We all do it. So maybe really the only difference between George and Peterson and lots of us is that A, he already had a pretty cushy position before, and B, he's doing it, I guess, from the right. Mm. And although, yeah, when you were saying there's, you know, this kind of the story of the professor with the idea for a kind of lost ancient tradition of literature, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've read that on like Telegram chats, actually. So, you know, maybe kind of, yeah, maybe Jordan Peterson is in fact a pioneer in that he's bringing those kind of theories back to their rightful audience, which is on YouTube. Yeah. You know, maybe he's just kind of squaring that circle. But it was something I followed Jordan Peterson's career, like, or his new career, I should say, basically since it began, which was years and years ago when he became something of a celebrity on the kind of reactionary internet because he had protested against a specific new rule at his university about respecting pronouns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he sort of became for a while a kind of Professor Owns, you know, screaming SJW kind of guy from that clip. So I was like, oh, all right, well, a lot of his lectures were on YouTube, so I watched them. And it was all just quite interesting, but sort of quite standard Joseph Campbell, you know, kind of meaning of myth sort of stuff. Mm. And yet, because he had this celebrity, suddenly I was seeing all of these commenters on what were just like, you know, pretty standard undergraduate lectures. I was seeing all these comments essentially of people saying, you know, like, oh my God, he's really unlocked things for me. He really gets it, you know. And I sort of thought, oh, he's kind of just introducing this audience who would never actually access this kind of material otherwise, because literature analysis is, you know, too feminized and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. He's actually just kind of introducing them to some pretty basic kind of academic concepts. Mm. And I felt the same when it came to his book career as well. He was kind of lacing this sort of very generic self-help stuff with you know, kind of complaints about society and kind of becoming too feminine dominant. But it was almost, that sort of seemed to be kind of almost incidental to the text of the book themselves, which was just quite boring self-help advice. Mm.